the encouragement that God gives us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24 is a challenge and an encouragement to mutually, again, together, one another, working together to do this, that we would mutually consider one another. And those three words that are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 24, chapter 10 and verse number 24 challenge us. And again, I already mentioned it when we were reading through the bulletin, but it challenges us to be the kind of Christian who carefully and attentively regards the needs and the welfare of others, so that we can be an instrument, again, that we can be a vessel that God can use to be the help and to be the support and to bear the burdens of one another that's around us. And we're going to look throughout the year of 2025 of these one another passages that are in the Bible and how God wants us to be this instrument, and He wants us to be this vessel that will carefully regard the welfare of others. And just as we desire to know God more, we want to encourage others to know God more, don't we? And again, I'm thankful I can go back in my mind, in my heart, of individuals who knew God as adults when I was growing up as a child, and they desired that I would get to know God. I'm thankful as a six-year-old boy sitting in a Sunday night service of a pastor who knew God, and he preached a message of salvation that night, and God spoke to my heart, and I came to know God because He was concerned about others that were sitting in that church that night who didn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. So just as we desire to know more about God, just as we desire to know Him as our Savior, we really ought to have a desire as a child of God that others would know Christ, that others would be able to personally put their faith and trust in Him. And then just as we desire to persevere in our Christian life, and I hope that you do, I hope that's a desire of yours, you're desiring to persevere in your Christian life and to run the Christian race that God has put you in with patience. He tells us to do that in Hebrews chapter number 12. We're to run with patience the race that is set before us. And considering Jesus, looking to Him as the example as we run this race that God has put us on earth to run, so that we can be able to say, as Paul said at the end of his life, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've persevered in my Christian life. I've come to that finish point of this Christian race that God has put me on this earth to run. And I hope that as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can truly say that that's a desire on your heart to persevere as a Christian and to do what He would have for you to do. But just as much as we would desire to know God and want others to know God, and just as much as we would desire to persevere in our Christian life, we ought to also endeavor to excite others to do the same thing. We ought to endeavor to excite others to persevere in their Christian life so that they can endeavor to be the Christian that God wants them to be as well. Now, in the context, here's what I want you to consider this morning. I'm going to narrow this down to a certain group of people that I want us to consider today, or I want us to, in our minds, ask ourselves if we have a concern for this morning. In this particular text that we are reading in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24, the context of this passage is the writer telling us, encouraging us to get to a place where our minds are fixed on and concerned about the needs of our brethren. Meaning, if we use the word brethren, that would mean those that are saved. So in the context of this passage, he's specifically telling us that we need to set our minds to put our minds, put our thoughts on exciting others, endeavoring to excite others to follow the Lord, again, as we desire to follow Him, to know the Lord better as we know Him. And he's asking us to do that for our brethren, at least in the context of this particular verse. But I want to go for the message this morning outside of the context of this verse this morning, and this is the group of people I want to ask you to consider this morning. There is no Christian that can live successfully as a Christian without having a concern or a burden on their heart to seek to share the gospel message with individuals around us that are lost. That's the challenge that I want to give to you this morning. In the context of Hebrews 10, he's saying that we're to consider or to set our minds on, to endeavor, to excite others that are brethren to do the things that God would have them to do. But again, we'll go outside of that context just for a moment this morning to ask us to consider where our hearts are when it comes to our concern for those that are lost. The burden that we have for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So here's what I'm asking you to do on the first Sunday of the year of 2025. And I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that we're going to look at two different verses in that passage of Scripture that I hope will help us as the message text this morning. Here's what I'm going to ask each of us to do this morning, and even that we would call upon God to help us to make a decision. I'm going to ask you to consider this morning, as you move into the year of 2025, what your response is to one of the most important groups of people that you will meet this year. What is this important group of people that you will meet this year? The important group of people that I'm referring to is those around us that are lost. Those around us that we come in contact with in the year of 2025 that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to ask you this morning to consider the lost. Consider the lost. I'm going to ask you the question, have you considered the lost? Do you have a concern? Do you have a burden for the lost? You know, the psalmist said it this way, and right after I read this verse from the book of Psalm, I'm going to ask you to get to our text. It's actually going to be found in the book of Matthew. And so you may want to begin to go that way in your Bible. And Matthew chapter number 14 is where we're going to look. But a very sad verse in Psalm 142 that I want to read for you this morning. And it says in verse number 4, and by the way, I hope this would not be true of us as children of God today. The Bible says, the psalmist says in Psalm 142 in verse number 4, he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. But it gets more serious, because the psalmist says at the end of those verses, after I've looked around, and he said, there was no man that would know me. He said, I got to the place where I was convinced in my heart. Listen to what the end of verse number 4 says. He says, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunities that God gives me to be a witness for Him. I'm thankful for the opportunities God gives me to have a concern and a burden in my heart for the lost, because it may be that I'm running into the exact person that has gotten to that place in their life where they feel like nobody cares for my soul. I know there's something greater that I could have in my life. And I'm searching for those answers, but it seems like I'm searching in places where I'm not finding the answer. And it almost seems like no man cares for my soul. Can I ask you to consider this morning what your concern level is, what your burden level is for those that are lost around us? Have you considered the lost in our world today? Is there a concern? Is there a burden in your heart or on your heart or upon your heart for those that are lost? I want you to notice a response to this that we see in Matthew chapter number 14. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 14. And what we're going to do this morning, I'd like us to take this passage of Scripture this morning and really just two verses. We'll read three as a text, but we'll really just concentrate on two of these verses in Matthew chapter number 14. And I want to give you some points, some thoughts here that I ask you to consider as we go throughout this morning message. And here's what we're going to look at. We're going to notice that there was a group of people that had a physical need. And we're going to allow their physical need to illustrate for us the spiritual need that individuals have today that we should be concerned about and that we should be burdened about. There was a group of people that wanted to help these individuals that had a physical need. Again, along with that thought, we ought to desire to help those who have a spiritual need and be just as burdened as they were to help with the physical needs of these individuals, so that we can help with the spiritual need of individuals. Isn't that exactly what we sang in the song this morning? The leper who felt like he had no hope, but then Jesus came and he came to meet Jesus. The demon-possessed man who was just tormented physically by that demon that was inside of him, but then Jesus came. And as a result of Jesus coming, not only did he help with the physical needs of these individuals and made people that couldn't walk, walk, and made people that were blind to see and helped people that had leprosy to be cured of that leprosy and removed the demons out of these demon-possessed individuals, he didn't just help them physically, but when Jesus comes, he helps them spiritually. And that's the encouragement that I want to give you today. And I want us to ask ourselves, what concern level do we have? What burden level do we have as we consider those around us that are lost. One of the most important groups of people that you will run into this week, or this year, excuse me, and maybe even this week, that we need to be a testimony to, and we need to let our light shine before. So notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse number 34, if you would. And when they were gone over, by the way, this was right after Peter had a chance to walk on the water. Now, you've probably read that story before. Jesus was walking on the water out to the boat, and the Bible tells us Peter said, if you would bid me come unto you, I'll come unto you. And so Jesus bid him come, and he came out onto the water, and he took a few steps, and then in fear, he looked down at the water, got his eyes off of Jesus, and sunk, and Jesus had to reach down and pick him up. This is right after that event took place. The Bible tells us they get in that ship, and they make their way to a place that the Bible is going to tell us about in verse number 34. It says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. So they come into the land of Gennesaret, and something happens when they get into the land. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, now that's knowledge of Jesus, of course. They had knowledge of him. They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made, the Bible says, perfectly whole. What's happening in this passage of Scripture? Just exactly what we sang in the song a few minutes ago. Jesus came. And when Jesus came, that was all the difference right there. All the difference in the world. When Jesus came, and not only did he take care of physical needs when Jesus would show up, but he also took care of spiritual needs as well. Now, I want us to notice a few truths from Matthew chapter number 14 that I trust will apply to our lives this morning when it comes to our concern and our burden for those that are lost in this world around us. Again, one of the most important groups of people that you will meet this year. How have you in your heart considered those around you that are lost? The first thing I want us to notice about this passage is the description of those we need to be burdened for. Number one, I want us to notice the description of those who we need to be burdened for. You might ask the question already, wait a minute, you're asking us to consider the lost. You're asking us to consider those that are in need spiritually. Well, what does this group of people look like? What am I looking for as I consider sharing perhaps my faith with somebody else? And so the question this morning and the description is those who we need to be burdened for. I want you to notice several things that I believe we see in this verse, in these verses. Look at verse number 35, and I'm going to emphasize some words here. At the end of verse number 35, which we'll get to in just a moment, it says this, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought him unto him. Now here's the emphasis. All that were diseased. All that were diseased. Now, because of the diseases, physically speaking, that these people had, they represent something that people have when there is a great spiritual need. And here's what they represent this morning, or a description of those individuals that we need to be burdened for. This is a group of people that were without hope. They were individuals that were without hope. You know, when it comes to eternity, when we're speaking of things of eternity, before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I'm not going to assume that everybody knows Christ as Savior here this morning, but I'll say that to those that do know Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning. Before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were without hope when we speak of eternity. Now, individuals that don't know Christ as their Savior, even in this world today, may feel like they have the world's hope. But really, eternally speaking, individuals without the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no hope. Now, outwardly, physically, their outlook was very grim, wasn't it? The outlook physically for these individuals, outwardly, it was a very grim outlook. They were gripped by whatever disease they had. For those, the Bible even says it at the end of verse number 39, they brought unto him all that were diseased. Again, it was a grim outlook for them. Outwardly speaking, of course, because of the disease that they had, they were gripped by whatever it is that was the disease that the Bible is referring to here in verse number 35. For some, it might have been blindness. For some, it might have been deafness. For some, it may have been no ability to walk. For some, it might have been a leper that needed to be healed. But whatever it was, it gripped them with that disease that they had. And can I say this? That's exactly what is true of those that are without the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, they are lost in their sin and they are facing death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. The earned result, or what we deserve because of our sin, is to die and spend eternity separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spiritual outlook of those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just like the physical outlook of these individuals is that they were gripped by their disease. There was no hope for any kind of recovery. They were at a point where they were without hope, unless, by the way, they were delivered by God. And by the way, spiritually speaking, that applies to those that are lost today as well. They are without hope, but unless Jesus steps in. Again, we sang it this morning in the song, then Jesus came. They can be delivered by God, can't they? You know, without God, we would say that equals no hope. But with God, there is great hope. The Bible talks a little bit about this in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to take the time to turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verse number 1 in Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were without hope. We were dead in our trespasses and sins because of our sins that had separated us from God. Again, a very grim outlook controlled by the problem of sin that we have in our lives. No hope without God. But with God, there is great hope. Because the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2. We're in chapter 2 again. We read verse number 1. The Bible says, you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But down in verse number 12, the Bible says this, that at that time ye were without Christ. All right, so before you came to know Christ, you were without Him. That's the condition of those that are lost today. This is the group of people that we need to be concerned about. They're individuals that have no hope because they do not have Christ. The Bible says this of those that are without Christ. It says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now listen to this, having no hope. That's what the Bible says of those that are lost. Having no hope. Now notice it goes on and it says this. And without God in the world. Remember what I said a minute ago? Without God equals without hope. If you're without God, you have no hope. And the Bible says that's true of those that are lost. And by the way, that's the reason why we should be concerned about them. That's what the reason why we should be burdened about them. Because they are without hope, because they are without God. But the Bible says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It goes back to what we said a moment ago. Without God, there was no hope, but unless they were delivered by God. See, there's no hope unless souls are delivered spiritually by God. So I want you to notice, they were, number one, without hope. This is the group of people that we ought to be burdened for. The group of people that we ought to be concerned for. Those that are without hope. You know, there are individuals in our world today that may be religious. They may be very respectable people. They may even present themselves as being a very morally decent individual. But sadly, some of those same people are still lost. And they're still without God, and they're still without hope. So man's greatest spiritual need is to be made whole through the faith that he puts in the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, these were individuals that were without hope. But I want you to notice the second description of these individuals. Would you look back at verse number 35 for a moment with me? It says this, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, now here I'm going to emphasize the middle part of this verse. They sent out into all that country round about. Number two, I want you to notice this. The Bible says that these individuals had to be sent for in order for them to be able to get to where Jesus was. They had to be sent for in order to get to where Jesus was. Now, what does that speak of? Well, it speaks of the description, the second description of these individuals that we ought to be burdened about and we ought to be concerned about. Number one, they were without hope. But number two, they were at a distance from Jesus. They were at a distance from Jesus. Isn't that exactly what sin does? Sin creates distance between the lost individual, the sinner, and God. Matter of fact, that's where that big Bible gospel word reconciliation comes in. That's when reconciliation comes into play. When we are reconciled to God. See, we're over here because we're sinners. God is over here because He is just and He is righteous and He is holy. And there's a great gap that comes in between the sinner and the holy and the righteous God. But Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross so that that gap could be closed. That we could be reconciled or brought back together with God. See, there was distance between us and God. Our sin separated us from God. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I understand that we are speaking of this in a geographical sense. So we're speaking of this as being a distance geographically. But may we consider this morning the fact that many today, in a spiritual sense, are at distance between them and God. And there's only one reason why they are at distance between themselves and God, and it's because of sin that stands in the way. They're without knowledge of God, and they're without knowledge of the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that the devil is going to do his dead level best to make sure that those who are in the darkness of their sin stay in that place, and their eyes are never opened to the glorious light of the gospel. As a matter of fact, because of individuals in the Bible who were lost in their sin and who were at distance from Jesus, Jesus, even during His earthly ministry, the Bible tells us, at times looked out over multitudes that He described that way. In the book of Matthew, the Bible says He looked out over the multitude and He described them as sheep having no shepherd. What does that mean? That means there are sheep that are scattered abroad and yet they've never met the shepherd. They don't have a shepherd to lead them. And so that led Jesus, the Bible says, with compassion as He looked out onto that multitude to say, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. By the way, I know there's not a copy of our prayer sheet on the back table right now because our midweek service was a little bit different this week. But anytime we put a prayer sheet out there, any prayer sheet that you may have in your Bible or you may have at your house, it always has the prayer request for laborers on there. Why are we praying for laborers? Because Jesus told us to do it. He said, pray for laborers because there are many that are at distance with Jesus, from Jesus. And they need to come to know Him as their Savior. So number one, their first problem, the first great description that is a problem with those who we need to be burdened for and we need to be concerned for today is, number one, they have no hope. And number two, they're at distance from the Savior. But I want you to notice number three. Would you look back to verse number 35 again? Look back to verse number 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about, and I'm going to emphasize some words here, and brought unto Him. Now that Him there is Jesus. Here's the last description in these two verses of individuals that we need to be burdened for. Number three, they need to be brought to Jesus. Individuals that are without Christ and are without hope, they need to be brought into the presence of Jesus. The Bible says this. I'm going to take the time to turn to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. And I'm going to read verse number 6. I'd ask you to listen as I read Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6 with this thought of the fact that individuals need to be brought to Jesus. Notice what it says in Romans 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. See, the idea there is we weren't at a place of strength where we could come to God on our own. But instead, Jesus had to take a part in closing that gap so that we could be brought to Him. We didn't have the strength enough to do it ourselves. We could not save ourselves. We couldn't pay the price for our sin. But yet Jesus died for the ungodly so that we could be brought to God. We could be brought back to Him and we could be reconciled to Him. Now, after we see the description of those we need to be burdened for? I'll ask you that question. Are you concerned for the needs of those who are without Christ in this world and without hope and at distance from the Savior and need to be brought to Him? Are you concerned about them? Have you considered? Remember, we were challenged. Consider one another. I understand the context of that passage is considering the brethren around us. But can I ask you outside of the context of that passage this morning to ask yourself how concerned you are when it comes to considering the lost that are without Jesus Christ around you? Now, the second thought I want to give you this morning is this. Number one, we saw the description of those we need to be burdened for. But number two, in this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice the qualification for those we need to be burdened for. The qualification. You say, all right, well, what could possibly be a qualification that must be met in order for us to be able to point those who are without Christ to Him? Well, the Bible gives us that answer in this passage of Scripture. What is the qualification that must be met for those who we are burdened for? Look at what it says with me again in verse 35. And when the men of that place, I'm going to emphasize some words there, here, had knowledge of Him. When the men of that place had knowledge of Him. Now, what is the only qualification that must be true of your life in order for you to have a concern and a burden for those that are lost around you, and in order to consider those that are lost around you so that you can share the gospel with them? What is the only qualification? The Bible says that there had been a time in their lives where they had already found Him for themselves. See, the only qualification that needs to be true of you and I in order to share our faith with somebody else is there has to be a time where we have already found Him for ourselves. The Bible says in verse number 35, they already had knowledge of Him. They already knew all about the Lord, and they knew about what He could do if these people would just get to Him. By the way, isn't that true of us today? If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we know exactly what will happen if folks get to Jesus. We know the change that He will make in their lives. And so the only qualification is that there was a time in their life where they had found Him. They had already known of Him and were concerned that others might find Him too. Oh, that we would have that concern in our hearts that because we have found Him, others would be able to find Him as well. Can I say two words that I hope will encourage you this morning? Knowing and going go together. Meaning this, I know Christ as my Savior, so therefore I ought to go and tell others about the one that I have come to know. The word know and the word go in the Christian life must go together. When we know Him, we go for Him to others so that we can share to them what Christ has already done for us. Would you take your Bible just for a moment? Keep your place there in Matthew chapter number 14. But would you take your Bible just for a moment and turn to John chapter number 1? John chapter number 1, and would you go down to verse number 41 for just a moment? We're going to put these words together, know and go. These words have to go together. If we know Jesus, we need to go for Him so that we can share the message to others. And we need to be burdened about that. We need to have a concern for that. We need to consider that this morning. And again, I'm thankful for the times in which in my life people were concerned enough about me to share what they knew about Christ so that I could come to know Him. Look at what John chapter 1 says. This is the passage of Scripture where Jesus is calling men to be His disciples. And the Bible says He has met a man named Andrew. It doesn't take long for Andrew to figure out that Jesus is the Christ. And look at what the Bible says in verse number 41 of John chapter number 1. It says in verse 41, He findeth his own brother Simon. Okay, so the Bible's telling us Andrew meets Jesus. He realizes who Jesus is. And the Bible tells the first reaction that Andrew has is, wait a minute, I gotta go find my brother. So I can bring my brother to meet this man that I have just met so I can point him to Jesus. Look at what the Bible says in verse 41 again. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And I want you to notice the first part of verse number 42, the Bible says, and he brought him to Jesus. See, he knew about Jesus, and so as a result of knowing Jesus, he, the Bible says, went And he told somebody else about the one who he had come to know. You know, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 14, it talks about a great feast that was prepared. And the man who had prepared that great feast and he had prepared that great supper, he sent his servants out. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to invite people to come to this supper. And it wasn't long when they went out before they started hearing excuses. Well, I can't come because I've just bought a piece of land and I've got to try to work that land. There was another who gave an excuse and he said, well, I've purchased some animals and I got to prove them. I've got to test them. I've got to try them out. And so that's my excuse. I can't come to that great dinner. The third excuse was I've married a woman. And as a result of marrying this wife, I cannot come to that great supper. And they came back and they delivered that message to the master of the house. And they said, I'm sorry to say, nobody wants to come. And so the Bible says the master of the house sent the servants out and he said, I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges. And I want you to compel them to come in that my house may be full. The idea there was this. They were to go out so that they could be brought to that great supper. The idea for us is that we know Jesus and so we go to tell others so that we can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know you've heard it many times, but it bears repeating that this is not just the duty of the pastor of a church or the Sunday school teacher or the missionary or the evangelist. He gives this duty, and by the way, we noticed there was only one requirement. He gives this duty to everyone who already knows Christ as their Savior. If you already know Christ, you ought to be busy trying to point others to the one that you know. Can I give you the final thought here? If you make your way back to Matthew chapter number 4, I want to give you the final thought. And it's this morning. Number one, we saw the description of those who we ought to be burdened for. Then we saw the qualification of those who we need to be burdened for. The only qualification for those who have this burden on their heart is that they know Him and so that they can share this message with somebody else. But the third thought I want to give you this morning, when we consider those that are lost, we consider the concern and the burden that's on our heart, the last thought I want to give you is this. I want you to notice the response toward those who we are burdened for. See, there's one thing to, it's one thing to know the description of a sinner and know what describes a lost person. They're without hope. They're without God. They're at distance from God. They need to be brought to Him. It's one thing to know Christ as our Savior as well. So we know, we've read it from Scripture, the description of a sinner, that person that's lost. We know some that are sitting here today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm not going to assume that everyone does, but if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could say, I know Christ is my Savior. I've personally experienced that. But it's quite another thing to respond and do what we must do as a child of God when we have this concern and this burden for others that are lost. Notice how they respond. Would you look quickly at Matthew chapter 14 one more time with me? And I want you to notice how we ought to respond to this concern that we have for the lost. When they had knowledge of God, It calls them to do three things. Can I give you those three things quickly? Look at the end of verse number 35 with me if you would. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, here's the first thing they did. They sent out into all that country round about. The first thing I want you to know is they sought. Number one, they sought. They were in search of those who needed to be healed. They were in search of those who needed the saving touch of Jesus. We could say it simply this way. They became evangelists. That's what they did. They became evangelists. See, again, it's one thing to say, I know I'm saved. And it's one thing to say, I know the condition of those that are lost around me. But it's another thing to say, I am going to personally take on responsibility for the lost to the point where I will become an evangelist for Jesus. I will endeavor to share my faith with somebody else. They were searching for those that needed to come to meet Jesus. Whether they needed to be healed physically or whether they needed the saving power of the Lord. Whatever it was, if they could just get them to Jesus. And so they were searching for them. You know, the Bible says that ought to be true of us today. We ought to be witnesses for Him. The Bible says we're to do it in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. That's why we try to reach our community with the gospel. We try to reach out into the public schools of our area here. We try to go out and knock on the doors in our area here and encourage people to come to church. That's why we have a bus route that goes out into our community, and we got a bus driver and we got bus workers that are on that bus faithfully every Sunday trying to reach out into our community, because we want to impact our city. We want to impact our county with the gospel. We want to impact our state with the gospel. We want to impact our country with the gospel. We want to impact the world with the gospel. We're searching for people. We're trying to take every avenue possible to search for people that need to hear the message of the gospel. And can I encourage you with the challenge that every one of us need to remember? We're not waiting for them to come to us, but we are searching after them. We're searching, we're seeking. The Bible says they didn't wait for these people to be brought to Jesus or to come to Jesus on their own. But instead, the Bible says they were out searching, they were out seeking. And that goes back to the story that we just read a minute ago, where the master said to the servant, he said, I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges, and I want you to go out and search for where they are so that you can compel them to come in, so that they can come to this great supper. We're to search for needy souls that need the message of the gospel. By the way, isn't that exactly what the Great Commission is? That we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel? C.T. Studd, a great missionary of the past, said these words that I want to encourage you with this morning. He said that we are to see, as Christians now, he said that we are to see that every soul knows the way of salvation and has a fair chance of being saved. Great missionary C.T. Studd said those words, that we as God's people are to see that every soul knows the way of salvation and they have a fair chance of being saved. See, that's our duty as a child of God, to have a concern enough for those that are lost that we are seeking for them. But then notice number 2, verse number 45, at the very end of the verse, it says this, and they brought unto him all that were diseased. So number 1, they sought them. Number 2, they brought them. They were seeking for them. They were searching for them. And then when they found them, they brought them to Jesus. See, it doesn't stop at just going to the lost, but trying to bring those souls to Jesus as well. Here's a physical and earthly analogy that we could use this morning that might be a help to us. A fisherman is not just searching, or is not just going out for the purpose of saying that he was fishing that day. He is going to be satisfied if he says, I went out fishing and I caught some fish. See, a hunter is not just satisfied in saying, well, I sat in the tree stand all day. No, they're going to say, I became satisfied when I was able to aim at that deer and shoot that deer and knock it over. That's what brought me the satisfaction of the day. And so it's the idea of, yes, saying I'm searching for the lost, but yet my desire is to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God challenges us with that in the Old Testament of the Bible. I'm going to read it quickly in Psalm 126, and I'd imagine that many of you have heard this verse. But in Psalm 126 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Notice this, bringing his sheaves with him. He didn't just go out and try to seek after the lost, but the Bible tells us he wanted to also bring the lost to the Savior as well, so that they could be introduced to the saving grace of Almighty God. Now notice the last thing with me, if you would. Not only were they sought, not only were they brought, but notice what the Bible says in verse number 6, and this is a challenge for every one of us, verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were healed, were made perfectly whole, the Bible says. Now notice the first two words of verse number 36, and besought. So here's the response of those that understand that there's a need. Number one, the Bible says they sought. Number two, they brought. But number three, you'll notice in verse 36, they besought. It's the idea of asking Jesus, begging him. Strongly and urgently asking and begging him. That word besought there in verse number 36 suggests the idea of earnestness. I mean, this is an earnest thing that I've got to bring people to Christ so that they can be healed. It suggests the idea of insistence on our end. We're insistent on trying to go out and search those that are lost so that we can bring them to Christ. So what's the challenge for us when it comes to this word besought? I believe it's a challenge for us to be in persistent prayer for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He can reveal to us, perhaps, individuals that we need to be praying for that are lost. Maybe to reveal to us what our true concern and our true passion is for the lost. Asking God to give us opportunities to be able to present the gospel message to someone else. Maybe perhaps we're praying in such a way where we're praying that God, You would help to make me a channel, an instrument, a vessel through whom the Holy Spirit can use to be able to be an avenue to win those who are lost. You know, there may be some that are sitting here today as we're drawing our message to a close. There may be somebody that are sitting here today and they may say, well, one of the perhaps biggest challenges that I face when it comes to a concern and a burden for those that are lost is fears that may creep up from time to time. You know, God promised as we go that His presence would be there with us. His power would be there with us to just simply pray and ask God, Lord, help me to get to a place where I overcome that fear. That fear would not stand in the way of us presenting the gospel to others around us. Maybe perhaps there'd be somebody who would sit here today and say, you know, you're asking me and you're encouraging me today to have a concern and a burden for the lost, but I'll be honest, I don't even know if I would know how to share my faith with somebody else. Again, praying and asking the Lord, Lord, give me the wisdom to be able to do that. Help me to be a channel or an avenue or an instrument or a vessel that can be used of You to point others that are lost to the Lord Jesus Christ and to take your Bible and get your Bible out and study some Bible verses that you can use where you can go through Scripture and be able to point people to Jesus Christ the same way somebody pointed you to Christ. And to ask God to help you to overcome perhaps some of the fears that you may have. Perhaps, and I hope this word is not a word that you receive in a harsh way, because sometimes I'm challenged by this as well, sometimes even the excuses that stand in the way from us being having the concern and the burden that we need to have for other people that are lost in this world. I'm asking you on this first message, the first morning message of the year of 2025, I'm asking you to consider the lost. One of the most important groups of people that you will come in contact with this year, those who are without Jesus Christ. How much of a concern, how much of a burden do you have for those that are lost? Do you have enough of a burden to share? Maybe be just giving out a gospel tract. Maybe it be, again, sitting down and memorizing some verses that you can use to point others to Jesus Christ. Maybe be helping in a Sunday school class this year. Helping in a Good News Club, our public school Bible clubs. Maybe allowing God to use you in another way where you can get involved in the ministries that we have here in our church that are useful of presenting the gospel to others that are unsaved so that they can come to know Christ as their Savior. What way could God give you more concern or more burden? Can I ask you to at least do this? Please, can I ask you, after you've received a message like this, to at least please don't walk out of here in the same way you came in? To at least ask God to give you a greater burden, to ask God to give you a greater concern for those that are lost, whose paths you will cross this year. May we have a concern, may we have a burden, may we consider those that are lost, so that we can seek after them, bring them to Jesus Christ, praying for them, asking God to intervene when it comes to opening their heart, that they would receive that message of salvation. And then as I close this morning, right before we call for a decision to be made, we've allowed God to speak to our hearts through the preaching, and now it's our opportunity to speak to Him. And I ask today, there may be somebody that's sitting here today that has never come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior themselves. And maybe you'd say, I would have to be honest, I don't have much of a burden for the lost, and I don't have a lot of concern for the lost that are around me because I'm still lost in my sin. And I've never come to a place where I've put my faith and trust in the Lord. If that is true of you today, we would love to take the Bible and show you this morning how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. How you could put your faith and trust in Him. that you could get to a place where you acknowledge that you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God and you cannot pay the price for your sin yourself, but God loved you so much that He sent His Son. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died and He was buried and He rose again. And He wants you to receive that gift of salvation today so that you can be reconciled, you can be brought to God, and sin will no longer stand in the way. We could have somebody that could take a Bible this morning and show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior this morning. And as you have that joy that's in your heart when you come to know Him, there'll be a burden then and a concern in your heart so that others would get to know the same God that you just came to know. If you don't know Him today, would you come to know Him? What a great way to start off the year of 2025, putting your faith and trust in the Lord. May God help us to make decisions for Christ today. Father, I pray that You would bless this moment of invitation.